Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Chilham, unlocking the world of classical music. C minor is the second key in Bach's well-tempered clavier with 24 preludes and fugues in all different keys, and this prelude has an understandable appeal as an intermediate piece. At first, it looks kind of monotonous, only sticking to the same idea of figuration for most of the piece, although it is actually a great exercise for motor dexterity in the hands. But since it's J.S. Bach, it also takes you on a journey through the harmony that the figurations are built upon that is both exciting and perfectly planned. First of all, usually in Bach there are no markings in the score whatsoever. No articulation, no dynamic, no expressive markings, and not even tempo. In this piece we actually get some tempos towards the end, but that's more of an exception than the rule. So this means we have to figure it out by ourselves, and this provides opportunity for different interpretations of the music. So you can hear different pianists play this in different ways. For example, you can take stock of the friction and the anguish in the figuration and the chromatic neighbor notes and play it something like Andras Schiff's plays it something like this. He plays it with a much more poise than I, but still somewhat in that direction. Or you can do the complete opposite and treat the 16th notes as more ornamental and play them very quick and easy, and Víkingur Ólafsson, the Icelandic pianist, plays it something like this. And then, of course, we have the outlier, Glenn Gould, who is always the outlier. He just speaks a completely different tempo and articulation than everyone else, and he plays it something like this. Wait. Anyway, let's check out the harmony. So C minor, F minor, diminished, and back to C for the first four bars. It's actually quite similar to the first prelude in C major, the Ave Maria prelude. It's the same type of structure for the piece, a figuration that's two units of figuration per bar, and it starts with a round trip of four bars and then going on the adventure. But this is C minor. It's grounded with a pedal point of C underneath these chords. So some tension there, and especially this diminished dissonant over C. And back to C minor. And then we start this sequence that's lovely. A flat major, going to the major, with C in the bass is the first inversion. So if we look at the top and the bottom voices and just play them, we get. So they take turn in moving one note at a time, and they create this sequence of dissonance and resolution for seconds and thirds. So it's a third, it's spaced out, but still this is a second resolving to a third, creating a new second, resolving to a third. But since it's spaced out, it's not that dissonant. But the harmony supports this with just traversing the circle of fifth with secondary dominants. D7 pointing to G minor, C7 pointing to F minor, B7 pointing to E flat. So we're still in harmonic motion, it hasn't settled anywhere, but when we get here we start to settle to E flat. So kind of modulating to E flat as a relative major to C minor, because we stay there in E flat after this. So here we get E flat. Now this feels like a tonic more because it's gone round. And this bar is probably one of the favorite place in this piece when we get the A flat, because something happens here with the figuration. Because we've always had a distance between the top note and the figuration. It's been like figurations down here and top voice. But now this distance has diminished more and more, and in the end it's just a chromatic note in between. So the two functions merge. It's still a top melody note. It goes here with the melody, but that's also very close and creates this great tension, chromatic tension. Like harmonically, it's an A flat, but it's so close, it's just great. So here's E flat major. Now we start kind of a new section after this. We get some more diminished chords. We're done with the sequence. And it continues going downward, everything going downward in the big chunk of this piece. So here, maybe going back to C minor. So here we start to get some more variation in the figuration. Like it changes direction a lot, so it's tougher to play these places. But here we reach an important point. This is a C minor, but it has gone all the way down to G in the bass, and that's the dominant, and from here on we get a pedal point on G basically towards the end. And this is really what Bach is so great at. So he gets this tension here and then he just keeps it as long as humanly possible towards the resolution in the end. So the building starts here. Okay, so now this build-up towards the end, gonna go through various stages. The first stage is a change in texture. It's actually four changes in texture. And the first one, we get this figuration is collapsed into a single line of an arabesque starting here. For those three bars, now we have a G pedal still all the time, and it's G7, dominant 7, going to C minor, still second inversion, and this diminished chord back to G. And then we get the first tempo marking, presto. So he wants it to go quicker here, presumably. You shouldn't start in a too much of a presto tempo in order to have an extra gear here. So here the melody goes back up and starts. It's still pointing downward, but it's from a new starting point. Like, these bars are much more difficult than the rest of the piece. If you're learning this, you need to spend so much more time on this place than the rest of the piece. Like, just slowly. Like, it's a bit therapeutic to practice this. Like, where do the accidentals start and stop? Because it's a bit messy. And also this, there's so many points of reversal of the figuration, like when the direction up and down between the hands. Anyway, let's try it in presto once. Almost there. Okay, so now this is the third change of texture. Now we get adagio and a rolling chord and kind of slowing down for a minute. And now we get a dramatic statement. Like, it says we're actually going to get somewhere with all this journey, probably in the end. So C7. By the way, these notes are not the same length. It's a bit confusing. It took me some time before I realized. If you need to check it rhythmically first, and then it could be a little bit more free in the end. So C7 to F minor, it's tonicizing F minor, the fourth scale degree in C minor. And then we land on this leading note, dominant, diminished, dominant diminished with the C pedal. And a new tempo shift again, allegro from the final bars. And this is the final arabesque, starting really deep, digging in the deep register here. And we go through a lot of diminished chords and F minor. But trust in Bach, he's going to bring you home in the end. Until melody goes up in a final movement. And resolves to a stable tonic chord. And it's not C minor, it's C major. It's still kind of the tonic in a way of thinking, but this is it's called a Picardy third, or Picardy cadence, I like to call it. And it's a stylistic device for Baroque music. A lot of pieces start in minor, end in major in this way. And it's a special feeling to it. It's not used as much after the Baroque. There's some in Chopin nocturnes, for example, but most common in Bach and the like. That's it for Sonata Secrets for this episode. Thanks for watching. The Patreon shoutout goes to Jade DeMartini.